What's up, everybody? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on Wednesday afternoon here in Midtown Manhattan from the lovely podcast studio for Cheesehead TV at LiveX. And a bit of news this morning slash into the afternoon with Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting that Jared Valdir plans to play on 2020 for at least one more year. Clearly stepped in admirably when Brian Bulaga went down in the playoffs, and even in week 17, Matt LaFleur put it best, I thought, when he said he wasn't scared to call anything with Valdir in there. I think that's a window into how comfortable the Packers would feel, or at least should feel, if they are allowing Brian Bulaga to walk, which the tea leaves would suggest that is the case. I know we've heard a couple of reports now, the latest coming out this morning, that the Packers have not spoken to or approached Bulaga's representation whatsoever since the end of the season. I believe the plan, this is just guesswork on my part, but my guesswork is the plan is to allow Bulaga to hit free agency and bring back Jared Valdir, who, as I said before, does plan on playing in 2020, and utilize him as a bridge to whoever they end up drafting in April and or anybody else they may sign in free agency long-term. I don't think Valdir is your long-term answer, obviously. He's an older player. He has his own injury history and issue to deal with, much like Brian Bulaga. But most likely, he can be had for much cheaper than Brian Bulaga will. The salary demands for Bulaga, he hits the open market, he can make a boatload of money, probably much more than the Packers are going to be comfortable paying. And I think Valdir has shown that he's capable, and he would be a perfect kind of stopgap while they groom whoever to take over in 2021. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Tony, what's up? Klondike, how are you? Good day, Io. Bud, hello. Aaron Harper says the Bears still suck. I believe that is the case. I will have to check with my sources, but I believe you are correct. Chad, Bulaga good is gone. It's trending that way. As I just said, they have not had any discussions. They have not approached. They went the entirety of the combine week not speaking to Bulaga's representatives. That would indicate that they are content to let Bulaga hit free agency and see what happens from there. Valdir is a step backward, says Gary. Well, I don't think anybody's disputing that. Bulaga is one of the best right tackles in the game, but he's also going to cost a pretty penny. And you can get through 16 games with Valdir and move on to your youth movement, so to speak, the following year. You can't pay everybody. We all know this. Bulaga is going to command a significant salary, and you have to re-sign guys like Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, who are younger, less injured. Yes, it's a step backward talent-wise. Not the step back that Spriggs was or Light was. But yeah, of course, you were always going to take a step back from Brian Bulaga. That's the way of the NFL. You got to take that step back, and then hopefully you find the next Brian Bulaga. That's roster management. Well, Travis, that's a left field question. What's my favorite sports movie of all time? Whew, that's a really good question. I mean, I don't know. There are so many. I mean, Hoosiers is so cliched, but it's so good. I love The Natural. I love, for football movies, Remember the Titans and Everybody's All-American are up there. Love Wildcats. I don't know. There's so many. There's too many to list just one. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. Is Gutekunst missing out on drafting shorter, superior talent at wide receiver? I know it's not this simple, but it seems to work for the Pats. I don't know if the Patriots are the ones you want to use in this regard. I mean, yes, they have, found some talent there, namely a former quarterback who became Brady's go-to and is still with him. But, for the most part, I think the Packers have done a much better job finding wide receivers in the draft than the Patriots have. Don't ever forget the great year, the great Chad Jackson controversy when the Patriots drafted Chad Jackson and the Packers settled for Greg Jennings. We all know how that worked out. No, I don't think Gutekunst is missing out on anything. He's got his reasons for doing what he does. He's drafted three wide receivers in a row that were taller, bigger, etc. But that was much later. That was in day three of the draft. I'd like to wait and see what he does drafting, you know, a quote premier pick, say round one or even round two. Ryan Smith, thanks for the super chat. Why is Graham still on the roster? I suspect he won't be much longer. Now, we've got about 2 weeks to go until free agency. No, a little less, actually. Gutekunst was asked about that at the combine, and he said he wanted to get through that week and get a lay of the land, i.e., and that's what he didn't say. What he probably means by that is talk to representatives, talk to agents, probably one of them being Graham's agent. I suspect the Packers will most likely approach him about a pay cut. I don't know how amiable towards that he will be, but we'll see. He's got about a couple, 10 days to make that decision before it affects the Packers' salary cap. I think he'll deadline spur action, and there's really nothing imminent that he needs to get done. I don't think any extensions are going to be done after the Crosby one while the CBA is still up in the air. So, there's really no reason to move on yet. I think he will, though, prior to the beginning of the new league year. Wilkerson facing DWI. That is a shame. Matthew, yes, I agree. Absolute shame for a guy who really struggled with drinking and off-field stuff here in the New York area. He had that clean slate when he went to Green Bay. Injury after week three, that's obviously just the worst timing. Never really got a chance to kind of show what he could do in Pettine's scheme, so to speak. Then faced a suspension and now has this arrest overnight. Just a bad downward spiral for Wilkerson. Matt, is there a need for another pass rusher, or are we set with the Smiths and Gary? I think they'll bring at least one more person in, whether that's through free agency or the draft, I'm not sure. But I think going just three would be awfully light. You got to have at least four, if not five, at edge. So I don't think it'll be a premier addition. I don't think they're going to use vast draft capital and or free agency dollars to do it. But I do think they'll find someone to take that fourth spot. Handy. Kenneth Murray, let's go. That's what I'm talking about. You guys know that's my draft crush, but I think his combine is probably going to take him out of possibility there at 30. Dustin, CBA issue could lock out 2021, not 2020, correct? Yes, Dustin. There is no imminent threat of football being shut down, NFL football being shut down for the 2020 season. Whether or not they come to an agreement on the CBA, there will be a season in 2020. The only question is, will it be the first year of a new extended CBA, or will it be what is termed the final league year, which is legalese and all sorts of parameters get put in place for how contracts are worked and how certain things operate within the league in what is known as, quote, the final league year. That's language that's in the past CBA. But yeah, there wouldn't be any kind of even beginning of a hint of a work stoppage until 2021. There's a lot of ball game left. Patrick, MVS had a lot of explosive plays early in the season. Do you think it could be just a confidence issue? I think that's part of it. I don't think that's the whole thing, but I definitely think he lost confidence. The team lost confidence in him. Aaron Rodgers, interestingly enough, didn't seem afraid to go to him on non-big downs, if that makes sense. Second and ones, first and tens, et cetera, things where they're going to get another shot if he screws this play up. But, he had a couple conversions, a couple nice catches. He did have actually a nice third down conversion in Detroit in week 17. But, so I do think confidence was an issue, though. Like you mentioned that he did have a number of kind of explosive plays early in the season. Now, obviously the week one in Chicago, that's a big one, but then, the touchdown, I think it was against the Broncos, that's on a free play, et cetera. But yeah, I think there's obviously the huge run after the catch against the Raiders. So yeah, the big play ability is there. I really think that missed touchdown in the end zone against the 49ers is what kind of started it. And then you have the really bad miss/drop against the Bears on the opening play in Lambeau. And after that play, I think the team was just done. That's when you saw his kind of his snaps really decline. and his playing time was just kind of taken away. So I really hope an off-season reset, et cetera, some more competition at the position, lights a fire under his butt, and we see a kind of a year three resurgence from MVS. I don't think he's ever going to be a blue chip player by any means, but I do think he can be incredibly productive and or explosive, like we saw earlier on in the year. Boy, says Denzel Mims is my draft crush. Go Pack, go. Mims is really coming on. A lot of mock drafts have him going to the Packers at 30. I know Zach Cruz over there at the Packers Wire is all in on Mims. Explosive kid. I really like him. He would definitely add something to the Packers wide receiver core, no doubt about it. Do you think Kumerow is going to feel more competition at wide receiver? Sly, yeah, he's going to feel more competition in the sense that he may not even make the roster. I don't know if he even makes it through the offseason. Depending on what happens in the draft and or free agency, there's a possibility that they just move on. I like the kid. You guys know that. I'm a big fan. But if the talent level increases, there's only so many snaps to go around, especially if you have young guys on the roster that you want to develop. Kumerow could be on the outside looking in at that point. Does Pack trade up with New England or Miami to nab Murray? I think either one of those is a possibility, New England especially. Although, hell, New England might just take him. But, yeah, I think either of those teams or a couple others are probably possibilities. I think Seattle's another possibility. That's been their trade partner 2 years in a row. Not to mention that they need, as usual, they need picks. So, yeah, I think a trade up for Murray is a possibility. I don't know how strongly Gutekunst feels about filling that position, the inside linebacker spot, and using draft capital, using it up to go get it. I don't know. That's going to be an interesting kind of facet of this offseason and the retooling of that position. Lucas Patrick is a stud, needs more playing time, says Corey. Well, if they don't bring back Veldier and Billy Turner has to kick out to right tackle, he may get his playing time at guard. He's fantastic inside. I really like the grit he brings. He plays with tenacity. He's not the most athletic guy. He's going to get beat on occasion, but I really like how he plays the game. I don't think you can make a case for him playing over any of the three guys on the inside currently. But like I said, if Turner ends up getting kicked out to right tackle, that would be, right guard would definitely be his spot. He would slide in there probably as a starter. I think there'd be competition, but I think he'd probably win it. Paul, thank you so much. Like. Hit like. Hit subscribe. Come on, people. Don't be stingy. How has Chase Claypool's value gone up after the combine? He had a really good combine, Kevin. Bigger guy, but still explosive. I think, people are probably surprised at how athletic he was, or tested anyway, given his size. I mean, that's a big sucker, man. He was moving. Why do you think the Packers played better without Davante Adams? We played the Raiders. Aaron Rodgers had a perfect passer rating. And then the Dallas game, how can we include Davante? That was a lot going on there. Well, the Raiders' pass defense is terrible, so that helps. The Cowboys, they definitely had a great plan, utilizing the backs and tight ends. I mean, it's not so much a question of, they played poorly when Davante came back. I think it's just a question of how the offense was designed and or how the trigger got pulled at the quarterback position. Look, I think you go through the week, you have a game plan, you want to feature your best players. Davante is one of them. We all saw this year the offense is so much better when it runs through Aaron Jones. There's no question about that. However, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are two of the biggest stars on this team, and they are going to get theirs regardless. I think if you gave Matt LaFleur some truth serum, he would say that he would prefer to do a lot more of the kind of things that we saw in that stretch when Davante missed. I think they did some of that when Davante came back, but there's no question. You just look at the numbers. You look at the targets for Aaron Jones after Davante gets back in the passing game. They dwindle throughout the year. I do think they have to do a much better job of kind of marrying those two things, because I do think you look at the Seattle playoff game, and that's a playoff game. And I don't care, what the state of Seattle's secondary or defense was. I mean, that's a playoff game. It's win or go home, and they absolutely rode Devontae Adams to the NFC Championship game. He's got all the talent in the world, and there's nothing wrong with utilizing it. But to your question, you know, I don't think they played better. I think there was just a difference in game plan and focal point. And like I said, there has to be a better kind of unity slash marriage between the two. And that's something that Matt LaFleur, he's going to have to put his finger on over this offseason, how to better utilize the talent on hand. Because it's clear that coming into the season, they really wanted to, you know, that Devontae was going to be the focal point, but they would mix in their running backs. Then Aaron Jones took off. Then Devontae got hurt. And then they really found what they had in Aaron Jones. And I think they had a real issue trying to kind of make that work game planning wise after Devontae got back. So we'll see what the offseason holds in that regard. Tony, does Lazard make the cut? I think so. Unlike Kumerow, I think he's kind of not entrenched, but he's as close as you can be to being entrenched as the number two. Even if they bring someone in, even if they draft somebody, I think his work ethic and his production there and his trust with Aaron Rodgers, 12, you know, is unafraid and absolutely loves throwing to the guy, will ensure that whatever happens in camp, he's going to get his. Aaron's going to make sure that he gets fed. I don't think he's on the outside looking in. I do think he'll start as the number two, and then as the year goes on, there's a good chance that someone else will ascend. I'm not going to say his spot is safe, but he will get every opportunity to compete. No doubt about that. Wasn't load management just a big part of Jones' reduction in touches? Josh, I don't think when it comes to the passing game, I think they definitely monitored how much he was utilized. There's no question they wanted to keep him fresh, and that's one of the reasons he played 16 games. But it was very much game planning and or targets in the passing game that just completely fell off after that Kansas City game. When Devontae came back in the Chargers game, he just disappeared. It's one thing to say, okay, we're going to ease off. It's another thing to have him go from 8 to 9 targets a game to 1 or 0. That was a little bit more than that. When will we hear from Aunt Gert next? That's a good question, Reese. Corey and I want to do a video with her. We saw a great interview with Men in Blazers did a great interview with a really long-time soccer fan, and we thought, oh, that'd be great to do with Aunt Gert about her time as a Packers fan. So we're going to hopefully do that this offseason. Do you think the 98 Broncos laid the game plan on how to win with an aging quarterback? Bryson, that's something I have actually brought up. I brought it up a bunch last offseason in regards to the Shanahan offense, which obviously LaFleur runs kind of generations removed version of. I think that's the whole point, right? You get that running game going, get Aaron out on a bootleg like Elway did back in the day. You've got a running back, and then it was Terrell Davis. Now you got Aaron Jones. Absolutely, 1,000%. I think that's the idea. Peyton Manning did the same thing in Denver. I don't think there's any doubt that is what they want to go for. And I think they have to be more efficient in the running game going forward. I think they ran the ball a lot and they did well some of the time. I think they have to get better in the running game to make exactly what you're talking about happen. Because it's one thing to say we're going to run the ball and take pressure off our quarterback. But then when you're getting into second and 12s, whether it's, you know, getting stuffed on first down and or pre-snap penalties that put you in second and 15. Now, all of a sudden, you know, you're out of your game plan. They faced way too much of that early in the year. And it's not anything they don't know. LaFleur's talked about it. But, yeah, that is 1,000,000,000% the idea. No question about it. Coming in late, saw Elvis Whitted was hired by Wisconsin. Steve, was the hire made official? I saw that he followed a bunch of Wisconsin people, both, you know, with the team and with the media, but I hadn't seen that he'd been hired. I do wonder if when LaFleur let him go, said, look, appreciate what you did for us, but you need more experience. Because don't forget, this was his real first gig in the NFL as a coach. And I think there's a good chance LaFleur said, you know, go back to the college ranks, get a little more experience. And then, you know, hopefully you'll make your way back to the NFL if that is, you know, his goal. But yeah, I saw that he was rumored to be working in Wisconsin, but I haven't seen an official hire. But if he has, that's awesome. He's a good guy. Yes, Badgers announced it on Twitter about 15 minutes ago. There you go. What's the plan for the future of the right tackle position? Well, as I said at the top of the video, I believe, this is just guesswork on my part. You saw the Adam Schefter report earlier today saying that Jared Veldheer wants to continue playing in 2020. His representatives met with a number of teams at the combine. My guess is that his crew, whoever it is, you know, agent, marketing agent, whoever, putting it out there that they met with a lot of teams is their attempt to try and drive up the price on Green Bay. I think Veldheer wants to come back to Green Bay. I think Green Bay wants him. I think a deal will get done. They'll use him as their bridge for 2020 to whoever they end up drafting this year, because I do think they'll take a tackle in a very tackle-rich draft class. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough for all the questions. 136 of you hanging out on a Wednesday afternoon. Who would have thunk it? Hey, hit like, hit subscribe. It's Cheesehead TV. We're devoted. Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a good night, everybody.